The reading from the prologue from Ohrid, April 3rd. On this day, we commemorate St. Nicetas the Confessor. He was born in Bithynia in the town of Caesarea. His father, Philaret, losing his wife, became a monk. Nicetas remained with his paternal grandmother. After he had grown up and finished his schooling, he went to a monastery in Medikion, where Nicephorus the abbot tonsured him as a monk. After 7 years of toil and asceticism, he was ordained hieromonk by Patriarch Tarasius. After the deaths of Nicephorus and Nicetas' great friend Athanasios, the brethren chose Nicetas as abbot, much against his will. Saint Nicetas was a holy example of life and asceticism to his brethren for many years. But when Leo V, the Armenian, came to the throne, following the devout Empress Irene and the pious emperors Nicephorus and Michael, the iconoclast heresy sprang up again. The emperor deposed Patriarch Nicephorus and sent him into exile, and in his place put a heretic, Theodotus Cassiterus, a man of impure life. Nicetas was imprisoned and tortured, but remained unwavering in his orthodoxy. He was taken from prison to prison and tortured by hunger and thirst, by cold and heat and malice. But he remained utterly unwavering. A certain Nicholas pestered him particularly with his derision and malice. But one night, the dead father of this Nicholas appeared to him in a dream and said, "Leave that servant of God alone." From that moment, Nicholas repented, and not only refrained from pestering him, but prevented others doing likewise. When the Emperor Leo the Armenian had made an evil end, the throne passed to the Orthodox Emperor Michael Balbus, who freed all the Orthodox sufferers. Nicetas retired to a lonely place near Constantinople, where he spent the remaining days of his earthly life in prayer and thanksgiving to God. When he died, his body was taken to his monastery, and during that journey, many of the sick, on touching his body, were healed. His relics were placed close to the graves of his spiritual father, Nicephorus, and his friend, Athanasius. This great hierarch entered into rest in 824. We also commemorate St. Paul the Wretched. A Russian by birth, he was enslaved by the Turks as a boy. Refusing to betray the Christian faith and embrace Islam, he was tortured and beheaded in Constantinople in 1683. And we commemorate the holy martyr Ulfianus. A young man from the city of Tyre, he was tortured for Christ by the governor Urban, the torturer of Saint Amphianus, who's commemorated on April 2nd. He was finally sewn into a sack together with a dog and a snake and thrown into the sea. He suffered and was glorified in 306. For consideration, I look to die 1,000 deaths, thus wrote St. Athanasius the Great to his flock in Egypt in the time of the terrible Arian heresy. Every spiritual man can say the same thing when he looks in spirit and sees the net in which the whole world is caught. The more spiritual the man, the thicker the net is seen to be. This is the will of God, that the most spiritual be saved by the narrowest path. And the psalmist himself said, "Many are the sorrows of the righteous, but in the end, victory and glory fall to their lot. They only need to be armed with faith and patience. He who believes understands his sufferings. He who arms himself with patience will see victory and glory. To those who love God, the narrowest way is sufficiently spacious. The greatest pains are the light yoke, and the bitterest death is the joy of the wedding." To ponder, let me ponder on the Lord Jesus in hell. First, how he descended into hell with great power, at which hell trembled. Second, how the evil spirits, the former rulers of hell, were before his face. And third, how his coming was an indescribable joy to the souls of our righteous forefathers and the prophets. Homily on the great desire of God. God will have all men to be saved. 1 Timothy 2:4. God desires that all men be saved. For this the Lord Jesus descended into hell, to save those also who had lived on earth before his coming. For if he had not descended into hell, an enormous number of righteous souls would have perished forever. And further, if he had not descended into hell, it, the greatest abode of evil against God and the human race, would have remained undestroyed. These two reasons, therefore, woke Christ the life-giver and sent him down in spirit into hell, firstly, to destroy the nest of the powers of hell, and secondly, to lead forth from hell to paradise the souls of our forefathers and the prophets and righteous men and women, who had fulfilled the ancient law of God and had thus been pleasing to him. Before Satan had done exulting in Christ's humiliation and death on the cross, Christ appeared, living and almighty, in the midst of hell, the chief abode of Satan. What unexpected and devastating tidings for Satan! For 3 years he had plaited a noose for Christ on earth, and in 3 days Christ destroyed his kingdom and led out the most precious booty in the form of a swarm of righteous souls. Thou desirest that all men be saved, O Lord. We pray thee, save us also, for there is neither salvation nor a Savior apart from thee. In thee only do we hope, and thee only do we worship, thee and the Father and the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen.